Tonight's shiur is going to be on the topic of Kriyat Shema al Hamita. The Kriyat Shema al Hamita, part of the issue that we're going to need to figure out is why exactly we do Kriyat Shema al Hamita. It's one of the first things we do as children, as you were just saying, even from the youngest ages. That's one of the earliest memories many children have of their parents saying Shema with them. And it's, we usually teach our children to say Shema al Hamita before we teach them to say Shema, Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis, Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, which is a very clear mitzvah d'oraisa. So it's, behooves us to understand what it's all about. And unfortunately, as many of the things that we do in youth seems to happen, it seems that we seem to get a little bit more lax sometimes with just how careful we are with Kriyat Shema al Hamita and saying the various parts of Kriyat Shema al Hamita as we get older. So I want to look into the different parts, where they came from, and what the Ikar is, what's the Tafel, what's only a Minhag, and try to figure out what the role of all the different parts of Kriyat Shema al Hamita is, and also to try to get through some of the, I certainly remember as a young child being told that after Shema you can't speak, you can't eat, you can't drink, you can't do anything. And whenever we needed to communicate with each other, we'd make all sorts of hand signals and writing things down. And, you know, how real is that? How much of that is perhaps a chumrah? And if you're going to write things down and use hand signals, does that help in any way? Or is that just as bad as speaking after Shema? So let's start at the beginning. There is a Gemara Maseches Brachos that I inexplicably forgot to include on the Mar Mekomos sheet that's in front of you, but the Gemara in Maseches Brachos and Daf Dalet Amud Beis at the bottom of the page tells us, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Afo pi shekara adam kriya shema bebeis haknesses, even though a person has already said Shema in Shul, mitzvah lekroso al mitaso, he still has a mitzvah to read it again, al mitaso, when he's on his bed at night. Why? Amar Rav Yossi Mikra, where do we get this from? What's a pasuk that indicates that we're supposed to say Shema al mitaso? Rigzu v'al techeta'u imru b'levavchem al mishkavchem v'domu sela. What's a pasuk in Tehillim? That if a person wants to make sure that he doesn't sin, so he should imru b'levavchem al mishkavchem. He should say what's b'levavchem on his mishkav when he's going to sleep. And Rashi on the spot quotes, Imru b'levavchem, Imru mashakasav alav avecha, you should say that which it says, alav avecha, meaning in Shema, and al mishkavchem shenemar b'shachvecha. So you say b'davka those words, b'levavchem, and mishkavchem, and you say those words just as you're going to sleep. Interestingly, the Gemara follows that up with the following statement, Amar Rav Nachman, Im Talmud Chacham hu ein sarich. If you're a Talmud Chacham, then you don't really need to say Shema. Why would you not need to say Shema if you're a Talmud Chacham? So we have to think about that. Amra Abaye. Abaye says, no, af Talmud Chacham yibayi leil me'emar chad psukat derachmi kigyon biyodcha af kudruchi padiso osi Hashem kelemes. Even a Talmud Chacham should say something, should say one pasuk, so maybe he doesn't have to say the whole Shema, but say something, some sort of pasuk. Now what's going on over there? Why would a Talmud Chacham not have to say Shema? Talmud Chacham aren't exempt from mitzvos. Adrabba, they have a higher standard that they're expected to live up to. Sometimes Talmud Chacham are mechmirin al atzman. But here you have a halacha that everyone else has a mitzvah to go and say Kriyat Shema Lamita, and a Talmud Chacham is going to be pater? A very strange comment of the Gemara. So we have to obviously understand what this is all about, and then we could begin to figure out why a Talmud Chacham should be different. So, first of all, in terms of what to say, just what makes up the Shema, and through that discussion, we'll see what it's all about. We'll see what Shema is really all about, and then we'll understand a lot more. In terms of just what to say, the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur quote that you say dafka the first parasha of Shema, right? Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Siman Reish Lamites. Don't tell me I forgot to put that on the sheet as well. I did. But the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and the two most important sources in the whole sugya, the Gemara that's the source of it, and the Shulchan Aruch, where it's Paskin Halacha, those are the two Mar Mekomos I forgot to put on the sheet. Congratulations to me, I'm wonderful. Anyway, so the Shulchan Aruch says that in Reish Lamites Aleph that you're supposed to say the first parsha of Kriya Shema, right? When you're Alamita, you say only the first parsha. Now Rabbeinu Chananel adds, and this is quoted by the Beis Yosef is on the sheet, If you look at Beis Yosef in source number 3, the Garsinim Perak HaRoa, the Gemara is going to say later on in Maseches Brachos on Daf Samacham and Beis, HaNichnas Lishon Omer Mishema Ad Vahaya Im Shema, that a person who's going to sleep should say from Shema until Vahaya Im Shema. Rabbeinu Chananel Kasav, and then Rabbeinu Chananel says, Shetzarech Likros Gam Vahaya Im Shema, that perhaps it's an ad vi ad bichlal, that not only from Shema until Vahaya Im Shema, but included should also be the parsha Vahaya Im Shema. Why? What's the svarat say Vahaya Im Shema? So think back to the Gemara we just quoted. We said it's based on the pasuk of Imru Bilvavchem Al Mishkavchem, right? That it relates to saying those words, Bilvavcha, Mishkavcha. And that appears both in the first and the second parshiyos of Shema. So he says, Rabbeinu Chananel Shetzarech Likros Gam Vahayim Shema Lefi Sheyeshba B'Shachbcha V'Kumecha. So B'Shachbcha is Al Mishkavchem. So since the word B'Shachbcha appears in the second parsha, so you say that you say the second parsha as well. Kachi Hagirsa Nechona B'Sifrei Rabbeinu As Far As Ushu Rabbeinu Chananel Kalsa Rosh Parakan Niskar V'Nira Shetaymo Shel Rabbeinu Chananel B'Shoy Goreis Hanich Nuslisha In Omer Shema. Meaning, Beis Yosef says, wait a second. It's very nice that Rabbeinu Chananel has a good reason to say the second parasha of Shema. That's wonderful. But the Gemara said very clearly, say Shema ad Vahaya Im Shema, which very clearly means, do not say Vahaya Im Shema. You only say the first parasha of Shema. Where did the Rabbeinu Chananel get the guts to argue on the Gemara and to make up his own halacha, that you have to include Vahayim Shema? Says the Beis Yosef, no, he's not making up his own halacha. He had a different girsa in the Gemara. Simply, in his Gemara, the girsa, the word ad didn't appear. His girsa was, say Shema, Vahayim Shema. What are you supposed to say? The first two parshios, Shema and Vahayim Shema. That was his girsa in the Gemara. So Mela, that's what he said you have to do. You say the first two parshios. Our girsa in the Gemara is Shema ad Vahayim Shema, and therefore Mikra Adin Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you only need to say the first parsha. Now the Bach then adds another chumrah. The Bach quotes that, if you look in source number 4, Kasav Marshal, Vizel Shonu, Vri Kasav B'Sifro, Shiyesh Likros Kula, Lefi Shiyesh Baramach Tevos, Shematzalas Min HaMazikin. Now this is the first hint as to what Shema might be about. The Bach says, no, don't only read the first two parshios, read all three parshios. Why? Because when you read all three parshios, you say 248 words. What's the magic number 248? Why do you want to say 248 words? Because the 248 words correspond to the Ramach Evarim on a person's body, and part of what you're saying Shema for is to protect yourself, and you want to protect your entire body, you want to protect all Ramach Evarim, all 248 Evarim, so it's most appropriate to say 248 words corresponding to the Ramach Evarim, meaning you say Kel Malach Neman, right? But you add that in to be Mashlim, the number, right, when you say Shema. But the point is, you see very clearly from Rabbeinu Chananel that what's the idea? That the idea of saying Shema is protection. That it's a mitzvah that we do, not a mitzvah d'oraisa in any sense. It's just a mitzvah to go and protect ourselves before we go to sleep. That there are all sorts of dangers that lurk at night. And in order to protect ourselves from those dangers, we say Shema. So it's a protective measure that we have. That's what appears from the Bach. Now, if that's the case, if it's a protective measure, so now maybe we understand a little bit what's the story with the Talmud Chacham. Im Talmud Chacham hu, ein tzarech. Talmud Chacham doesn't need it. Why does the Talmud Chacham not need protection? So we know there are certain halachos that assume a Talmud Chacham does not need the same protection that other people need. That, for instance, the Gemaras in the beginning of Bava Basra talk about taxes that members of a community have to pay. So the Gemara basically says, when it comes to paying for the garbage collection and paying for, paving the streets and things like that, so Talmud Chacham's chayv like everybody else because he needs the garbage collectors, he needs the paving of the streets, and he needs all those services. But what about when it comes to paying for the security of the city? Right? If you need to have a wall around the city to secure the city, so the Gemara says Talmud Chacham is pater from those taxes. Why is he pater from those taxes? Because he doesn't really need that. His Torah protects him. And he doesn't need that extra level of protection. So maybe you could understand that line of the Gemara. If he's a Talmud Chacham, so he doesn't need that level of protection, maybe he's going to be Pater. And the Gemara says, yeah, but he should still say something. Still could to say something. But he doesn't need the same level of protection of somebody else. So that's role number one of Shema. That maybe Kriya Shema Lamita is simply about protecting ourselves. Mishnah Berurah, by the way, quotes this idea of saying the 248 words with Kel Melech Ne'eman. Fine. So that's those are the various minhagim. So again, Shulchan Aruch says first parsha is the din. The Rabbeinu Chananel said second parsha also based on his gears in the Gemara, and the Bach said you should say all three. Now it should be pointed out that very often, shouldn't say very, depending on the person, depending on what your schedule is, a lot of times people daven Maariv before Tzeis HaKochavim. And if you're davening Maariv before Tzeis HaKochavim, it means you're saying Kriya Shema before Tzeis HaKochavim. So you really need to repeat all three parshas of Kriya Shema later on. If that's in fact what's going on, if you in fact daven Maariv early, you daven Maariv before Tzeis HaKochavim, then you would certainly say all three parshios by Kriya Shema Lamita in order to make up for the missing Shema. In fact, there's a discussion in the poskim. What does this mean, Kriya Shema al Hamita? Do you literally have to be on your bed? Should you be lying down on your bed, Dafka, when you say Kriya Shema? So there's a discussion in the poskim. Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, not literally on your bed. When you're almost on your bed, that's when you do it. The Rambam and the Tur, however, say that no, it means when you're lying down, when you're lying down on your bed. So the Magen Avraham in Sifkat and Hay, it's in source number 2, says, Hanu Dafka b'Kriya Shema shel Chova. He says, when it comes to saying the Kriya Shema Alamita, if you daven Maariv after Tzeis HaKochavim, so you don't really need this Kriya Shema Alamita for the mitzvah. You only really need it just for the Shemira, for the protection that Kriya Shema Alamita offers. So then you should say it while you're lying down. And if you fall asleep in the middle, so you fall asleep in the middle. It's not the end of the world. You did whatever mitzvahs you needed to do that day. But if you need this for your Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, this is your mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, you can't be falling asleep in the middle. Then you would need to say it sitting up. You couldn't be saying it lying down in bed. Good. So that's the so far, what do we know that we're supposed to say? All we really have so far is to say the Shema itself, right? First paragraph, second paragraph, third paragraph, but just Shema itself. You open up a Siddur, a standard art scroll Siddur, and you open up the Kriya Shema Lamita, and it's like 8 pages. Not 8 pages, but it's exaggerating a little, but it's long. It's not just Shema. In fact, it only prints the first parsha of Shema, but you have, you know, all this, and then all this, and all this. It's a long thing to say. So where does all this other stuff come from? Right? So far, all we saw is that you're supposed to say Shema. So a few other things. The Gemara Masechta Shavuos, on Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, if you look in source number 5, Rabbi Shob ben Levi Amar Luhu Lahani Krai Vegani. Rabbi Shob ben Levi would say over Pesukim and fall asleep as he was saying over Pesukim. And the Gemara says, really, are you even allowed to do that? Isn't that, you know, you're trying to say Pesukim to ward off whatever, you know, whatever dangers lurk at night? Aren't you not allowed to use Divrei Torah as a refuah? Aren't you not allowed to use words of Torah as a way of warding off illness and things of that nature? So he says, the Gemara says, no, you're not allowed to use it as a cure for an illness, but as a way of warding off a potential danger that you're allowed to do. But what do you see? That he would say Pesukim as he was falling asleep. And based on that Gemara, the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch say that the... So based on that, we add in several Pesukim relating to protection. Now, the Gemara... But that's purely because of a minhag. That's purely an additional minhag. It's quoted in the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef quotes this idea, but it's purely an additional minhag. It's not certainly me'ikar adin to add those extra pesukim. That's important to know, because if you're going to prioritize what's important to say, what's not so important to say, so obviously the parsha of Shema is very important to say. We'll get to Amapil in a second. All the other pesukim are nice to say, and appropriate to say, but is it absolutely necessary that you say all the other pesukim? It's a minhag. It's a very nice minhag. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah himself says, Magen Avraham quotes, that if a person is a chola or has difficulty saying all of it, so skip that part. And in fact, Rav Shurmach has in a tshuva, he says, we'll get to women later, where the women are chayiv in this, but he says, for sure women don't have to say all that other stuff. Because that's all extras. That's all just a minhag. And then not to belittle a minhag. A minhag is also very important. And it's interesting. Depending on what you hold Shema is all about, there's a second opinion. Let's say there. So far, what do we say? What's the purpose of Shema? Shmira, protection. Right? But there's a second idea. We just saw a second idea in this Gemara, that as a person is going to sleep, they're saying words, they're saying psukim on their lips as they're going to sleep. Not an inyan of shmira, but an inyan of falling asleep mitoch divrei Torah. That a person should fall asleep with Torah on their lips, and they'll have Torah on their minds. It's a very appropriate way to fall asleep. The last thing on our lips as we fall asleep should be words of Torah. Now, if that's the case, so that the idea is to have words of Torah on our lips, so that Torah is the last thing we think about. So, how do we understand in Talmud Chacham who ain't tzarich, that if you're a Talmud Chacham, it's not necessary? Talmud Chacham is thinking about Torah anyway. That's what he's thinking about all day. He doesn't need to have any additional recitation of psukim in order to bring Torah to the center of his consciousness. It's something that's at the center of his consciousness anyway. And that's how Rashi seems to learn. Rashi and Daf Hem and Aleph from Maseches Brachos, on that line, in Talmud Chacham Ein Tzarich, says Rashi, Sheragel b'mishnaso lachzer al girsaso tamid, dayo bekach. He's always learning anyway. He's always reviewing his learning. Talmud Chacham, as he's walking in the streets, is going over his learning, is talking to himself and learning. So that's enough. That's sufficient. He doesn't need to add anything else in as he's going to sleep. So says the Magen Avraham, there's a big nafkamina whether the point of Shema is for Torah or the point of Shema is for Shmira, right? So what's the nafkamina? Says, when do you say the Shema? In relation to Hamapil. Now, what's Hamapil about? Before we even get to why you have to say, but what's it about? What's the theme of Hamapil? Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hamapil Chevle Sheina Aleinu Yisnum Al Afapai V'hira Tzom Lufanecha Hashem Elokei V'Elokei Avsai Shetashkiveni L'Shalom V'Samideni L'Shalom V'Al Yivahaluni Rayonai V'Chalomos Ra'im V'Arhorim Ra'im. What are we davening for? We're davening for protection. We're davening that Hashem should save us from thinking bad things, from experiencing bad things, that we should wake up, okay? That we shouldn't die in our sleep. We're just davening for protection. We're davening for safety. The theme of Hamapil is clearly about protection. So says the Magen Avraham, a very interesting vart. Do you say Hamapil at the end, or do you say Hamapil at the beginning? So in our Sidurim, it's printed at the beginning. There's some Ribono Shalom prayer, and then, which we'll get to later as well, then Hamapil, then Shema, and then all those other Pesukim. So Hamapil is definitely about protection. What's the general rule of a Hefzik? When is something a Hefzik? If I do Netilas Sidayim, let's say, I'm not allowed to be Mafzik between Netilas Sidayim and eating the Hamotzi, right? So what's not a hefsek? What am I allowed to talk about? So it's a well-known halacha that everyone's afraid to actually do, but it's a halacha that we know at least intellectually exists. Now, what am I allowed to talk about? No? What am I allowed to say? Yeah, give me this. Well, you can say the bracha, and what I can ask anything relating to the bread. Give me the salt. Give me something. Right? That we know that that's the halacha. People are hesitant to do it because we're always taught not to talk, but that's the halacha. Anything that relates to what you're doing is not going to be a hefsek. But if I start schmoozing about something else, I start schmoozing about the ball game or how good or bad the Baal Tefillah was in shul that morning, whatever. So that has nothing to do with the hamotzi. That's going to be considered a hefsek for sure. So says the Magen Avraham very beautifully. You start with let's say you start with hamapil. Can you then say the Shema and all the other pesukim? If the Shema is also, well, Hamapil, we know what it's about. It's about protection. If Shema is also about protection, so then is it a hefsek? No, it's the same inyan. It's also the mitoch, the inyan of protection. So it's fine. It's not a hefsek. The bracha of Hamapil is on sleep, right? So you don't want to be mafsek between Hamapil and sleep. But if you're going to be talking about inyanim that relate to Hamapil, because they're inyanim of protection, fine, you can say it all after Hamapil. But if you hold that the idea of Shema is to go to sleep with some Divrei Torah on your lips, is to have Divrei Torah being the last thing that you pretty much think about before you go to sleep, well then you shouldn't be allowed to say that after Hamapil. Because it has nothing to do with protection per se. And therefore, it's going to be a hefsek between the bracha of Hamapil and falling asleep. And therefore, you should say it before Hamapil. You should save Hamapil for the end. So how do we have it printed in our Sidurim? We have the Hamapil first, and then the Shema and all those Pesukim. Apparently, our Sidurim Paskin, that the Shema and all the Pesukim are about protection. Now, it's obvious that the Pesukim are about protection. If you just look at what they say, right, they're all about, pretty much about HaKadosh Baruch Hu protecting us. Right, that's an obvious part. But Shema is a Chiddush. That Shema is about protection rather than being about just falling asleep with Torah on our lips. The Torah and the Shulchan Aruch both paskin that the Shema is not for protection. It's for it's for having Torah on our lips, and therefore, according to the Torah and Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is that you have to say the Shema first and then the Hamapil. The Ramah, however, paskins like the Rambam and the Gos Maimonios, who say that the Shema is for Shmira also, and therefore Shema can come after Hamapil. And that's why it's printed that way in our Sidurim. Magen Avraham seems surprised that the Ramah chose to paskin like the Rambam and the Gos Maimonios against the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, but be that as it may, that's what the Ramah paskins. Magen Avraham was surprised by it, but that's how the Ramah paskins, and that's why it is that way in our Sidurim. Now, the Mishnah Berurah just points out that you have to be smart about it. You have to think about it for a second, because it's very nice to say that you don't want to be mafsik between hamapil and falling asleep. He says it's very nice to say that Shema is also for protection, so therefore it's not a hefsik, so you can say hamapil and then Shema. He says, but be careful. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah in Reish Lamed Tes Beis, if it's in source number... Mishnah Berurah says, here's what I suggest. You have to know yourself. You have to know your own nature. If you are the kind of guy that falls asleep in the middle of the first paragraph, you're one of the head hits the pillow, can't keep eyes awake, try to read a book, and you got halfway through the first sentence and you're out cold kind of people. So then, Tov Yosher Shiyaktim Birch Samapil Mada Efshar. Then you should say Hamapil first, because otherwise you're not going to say it. So you want to say it first, to say it as early as possible. But Vimein Tivol Ozeh, but if you think you can make it, so you might as well be Machmir. Tov Yosher La'achir Birch Samapil Adu B'Sov. You might as well be Machmir to put a Mapil at the end. Why is that a Chumrah? To make sure that just in case Shema is not about Shmira, that Shema shouldn't serve as a Hefzik, so save Hamapil for the very end. But you just need to make sure that you don't miss Hamapil because you're so busy saving Hamapil for the end and you fall asleep in the interim. So that's the suggestion of Mishnah Berurah. Additionally, besides for these other Pesukim, Magen Avraham quotes a minhag that many people apparently had to say a vidui as they went to sleep. And he writes, Yesh Nagin Lomer Vidui Kodem Hashena. He says, Vidoy shel meis. They would say a vidoy of a person who's dying, that kind of vidoy, before they would go to sleep. So some people have such a minhag. Says Magen Avraham, it's a terrible idea. V'nirli she'enu nachon. Da'aminu b'brachos tafsamach shelo lomar im amos te misasi kapara. A person should never say, if I die, then my death should be a kapara. Or something like that, because lo liftach piv l'satan. You're not supposed to say things about tragedies that have not yet occurred to you, because that just gives the Satan the opportunity to say, he's half expecting it already. God, come on, let me have a crack at this guy. Right? So you don't want to give the Satan any ideas, so you're not supposed to talk like that. Person should never say, I was just actually talking to someone today who said, I've never had any yisur and any real suffering in my life. You're not supposed to say that. Person not supposed to say, I haven't been the best, biggest tzaddik in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't paid me back for all the evil that I've done. Don't give him any ideas, right? Just keep it quiet. You're not supposed to talk like that. So that you're not supposed to say. It's d'mash makilu hu mevake shiyir from imenu. It's as if you're asking God to pay you back, to pay you back for your averos. You're not supposed to do that. Vinso pasef piv l'satan. So says the Magen Avraham, bad idea to say vidoy at night, because what does it look like? It looks like you're saying, okay, just in case I die tonight, might be a goner anyway, so let me just say a vidoy. Now he says, you shouldn't do that, but what should you do? He says, yifashrish b'masav sha'asar kol hayom. Think about what you've done, do what we call a cheshbon ha'nefesh. Think about whatever averos you've done during that day. And if you could think of a particular avera that you did, Good, so you do vidoy in that. That has nothing to do with dying. That just has to do with, there's a mitzvah of doing tshuva whenever you know that you did an avera. The vidoy of a mace is a vidoy that's all-encompassing. And even if you don't identify anything in particular that you've done. It's just an all-encompassing vidoy. Don't do that. But if I know, today I insulted somebody. Well, vidoy is not going to help. You got to actually get mechila if you insulted somebody. But today, something been other than makom. I didn't have kavana b'tfila. So I say a vidoy, not having kavana b'tfila. Something like that. The kabbal of shalol asos and trying to be makabel not to do it tomorrow. Uberprat ba'averus ha-metzios. And he says, if you want to think about where you sinned, he said, think about the averus that everyone does. And then you'll probably find something. He says, kigon, chanifus, shkarim, leitzanos, lashon hara. You know, those are the big ones. Those are the ones that everyone does every day. Right? If you do chanifus, if you lie, if you have leitzanos, a little too much joking around, lashon hara, right? Those are the big ones that everyone does every single day. So you think of, not everyone, but many people do every single day. So you think of those, you'll probably find something to say vidoy on. But that should be the limit of the vidoy. Mishra Brewer then adds, another good thing to do. Gam ro'i limcha l'kol mi shechata kenegda. It's kedai to be mochel, anyone that sinned against you, v'tziyaro, and caused you any pain. U'b'zchus zeh ha'adam marich yamim. The Gemara Megillah Daf Chaf Ches says that in the zchus of being mochel people before you go to sleep at night, not going to sleep with any grudges on your mind, so it's going to give you arichas yamim to go to sleep with that peace of mind. And that's why if you look in the Siddur right before a mapil, what's the paragraph? Ribono shel olam harini mochil lechol mi shehichis vehiknitosi o shechata kenegdi. Right, you say a declaration of mechila. It's a declaration of mechila for anyone who has done anything to you. Good. So that's the idea. That's where that comes from. Furthermore, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch adds that there is a minhag, and this also children from the youngest age. I know do it with my children. I remember as a young child also, always kodem sheyelch lemitaso yelech al mezuzah v'yaniach etzba osav aleha. Before you go to sleep, put your fingers on the mezuzah. We used to kiss the mezuzah before you go to sleep. Why dafka kiss the mezuzah before you go to sleep? So. Again, if Kriya Shema is about Shemira, it's about protection, so we've discussed in the past, mezuzah has many of those same themes. Mezuzah is also a sign of protection. That's why you'll find in many, even though it's halachically incorrect, if you take taxis in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of times they'll have a mezuzah hanging from the rearview mirror, right? Because they think that it's a protection for their taxi. To have a mezuzah hanging there. Now, it's inappropriate. I mean, you do the mitzvah. The mitzvah is a protection. There's no mitzvah to put a mezuzah on your rearview mirror. But the idea is that mezuzah is also a form of protection. So you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a mezuzah on the Pesach Habayis. It's a gemara like that. The mezuzah on the Pesach Habayis, that should be that should serve as a protection for me through the course of the night. So it just fits in with the overall theme of what we're trying to do with Shema. Now, what about women? Are women chayiv in Kriyas Shema L'Amitah? So what would you say? What's the halacha by women in general when it comes to mitzvos? Mitzvah Shazman Grama, women are pater. Is Kriyas Shema L'Amitah Mitzvah Shazman Grama? So Pashto says yes. Why? Because it can only be done at night. Right? So Pashto Pshat it is. No? Well, how can you argue then?
It's for Shmira.
If it's for Shmira, women need Shmira just as much as men need Shmira. Right? So this is the discussion. Magen Avraham noted that women in his time did not have the minhag of doing Kriyas Shema L'Amitah. And he wondered why, and he said, it must be because it's Mitzvah Shazman Grama. It doesn't sound like he's saying, if one were to ask me after studying the text what I would have thought they should do, I would say they're pater. It sounds more like he's saying, this is what they do, now I got to figure out why, so I'll tell you it's because they hold it's Mitzvah Shazman Grama. The Eli Rabba says, like you would expect, women also need Shmira. Now, how do you define Mitzvah Shazman Grama? I was just at a bar mitzvah this week. Bar mitzvah boy said over the following pshetel, he said over a beautiful vart. He said the kasha about why we need a pasuk to teach me that women are not chayiv in milas panam, in the mila of their child, if after all, mila is Mitzvah Shazman Grama. Because it's only done during the day, it's not done during the nighttime. Just that alone. So Mitzvah Shazman Grama. So why do you need a pasuk to teach me that they're pater? Of course they're pater. Right? So he quoted a Turi Evan, the Shagas Aryeh, in the Sefer Turi Evan, the Shagas Aryeh says, no, it's not a mitzvah shazman grama, because if you don't do it today, so tonight you're not going to be able to do it, but then tomorrow it's coming back. The chiyuv comes right back. And anytime the chiyuv is going to come right back, that's not called zman grama. Zman grama means that there's an end where that's when the mitzvah ends and you're not going to have to do it anymore. What's a mitzvah shazman grama? Let's say netilas lulav is a mitzvah shazman grama. After sukkahs, it's done. It's not coming back. What are you going to taina? Yes, it is coming back. When's it coming back? Next sukkahs. He says, no. Shagasari says, that's not called that mitzvah's coming back. That's a new mitzvah. That's a separate mitzvah. How do I know it's a separate mitzvah? Because if I took lulav and esrog this sukkahs, do I still have to take it next year? Yes. So that's obviously a separate mitzvah. Whereas if I did a milah once on my child, do I have to do another milah on that same kid? Obviously not. You only do one milah. So that's a mitzvah that keeps coming back. Kriya Shema Lamita, therefore, would fit into mitzvah Shazman Grama, even according to the Shagas Aryeh's definition. Just wanted to say over that word, I thought it was a Geshmak of word. But he said Kriya Shema Lamita would fit into mitzvah Shazman Grama. Why? Because yes, it's going to come back tomorrow night, but when it comes back tomorrow night, that's tomorrow night's mitzvah, right? That's not tonight's mitzvah. So that's the idea of mitzvah Shazman Grama. Now the Prima Gadim says that, well, wait a second. There's a second reason for Kriya Shema. It may not only be about Shmira. It may be about just falling asleep with Torah on your lips. Well, if that's what it's about, are women chayav in Talmud Torah? No, absolutely not. So if women are not chayavos in Talmud Torah, then there's no reason why they should have to worry about falling asleep with Torah on their lips. So that's the whole deal, whether women do or do not say it. Apparently, basically, bottom line is that apparently there's good reason that they should say it, because they require Shmira. The minhag seems to have been hundreds of years ago already that they don't say it. So Rav Sternbach says, they should say it, but you don't have to be so machmir that they have to read all those pages. Right? Let them say the Iker, let them say Amapil, let them say Shema, and shine, and they'll be done. You don't have to go further than that in terms of the women. The Eliyahu Rabbah adds, though, after Shema, he says minhag is to say Adon Olam. And we actually have Adon Olam printed in our Sidurim, at the very end of Shema. That's what the Eliyahu Rabbah says. The Eliyahu Rabbah in Os Dalid, I have it here somewhere, 13, I'm just looking for this part where he says, Adon Olam. No, here I have the part about the women thing. Does it say Adon Olam in there?
Yeah, second line.
Second line, Nagu lomar Adon Olam ba'achrono, why? Because in Adon Olam, there are a lot of beautiful lines in Adon Olam, but Bedavka biyado afkid ruchi. What does biyado afkid ruchi mean? Afkid, I'm giving a pikadon ruchi of my ruach, of my spirit, biyado, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands, meaning I'm in your hands for the night, God, please take care of me. Right? It's also an inyan of Shmira. Why do you say it at the end? Isn't it a hefsek? No, because anything that relates to Shmira is not a hefsek. It's also, Adon Olam in general is a kind of tefillah. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, and that's why we started the minute of saying it here in Shul, that Adon Olam in general is the kind of tefillah that you say at the end of something and at the beginning of something. Meaning it shows, it's sort of expresses the idea that when we finish, we're ready to go back to the beginning. It expresses the idea of rebirth and going back to start a cycle anew. So that's why we start davening with Adon Olam, even though we pretty much stop that minhag when we're about in fourth grade or so. But, you know, the davening should theoretically start with Adon Olam, and it finishes with Adon Olam, to show that, that there's this circular type of cyclical tefillah, that we're never really finished, that we're ready to start again, and we realize that if we're mispalel all day, it's still not enough, right? There's always more to daven, so we show the beginning. So maybe that's the same idea at night also. If Adon Olam is the first thing you say in Shacharis in the morning, so maybe before we go to sleep at night, show this sense of coming back around and showing how we want to be able to come back tomorrow morning and start again with an Adon Olam. Maybe that's why we dafka choose that tefillah of Adon Olam. I was in a shul in Tinek this past Shabbos, Rinat, Rabbi Adler shul. Rabbi Adler is a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik, one of his finest Talmidim from the later years, from the 1970s. Someone once ranked Rav Soloveitchik's best Talmidim from each decade. Best Talmud in the 30s, best Talmud in the 40s. So So in the 70s, he had Rav Chaim Wilson and Rabbi Adler from Tinek. Anyway, so Rabbi Adler in his shul, they don't say Anim Zmiros, but they do say Adon Olam at the end of davening. They don't say Yigdal either, right? That's based on the minhag of Rav Soloveitchik. The Rav Soloveitchik followed the minhag. First of all, he held Yigdal, he shouldn't say, because he had some unusual sheet about Yigdal being a Chukas Akum, not going to get into now. But he held Adon Olam, you do say, because of that idea. And Anim Zmiros held, you don't say, that was the minhag Gra. That the Gra held that it was like Kodesh Kadashim, you only say it on Yom Kippur. You shouldn't say it any other time besides Yom Kippur. In fact, this Yom Kippur, Rabbi Lamb, when he was davening in our shul, Rabbi Maurice Lamb came over to me and he said, you know, he was reading the Maral's Machzor, I guess, I don't know, he was reading something from the Maral, and he said, the Maral says you're never supposed to say Anim Zmiro, said it's only for Olam Haba. I don't know what that means. What do we have it? But it's only for Olam Haba? It means something. I understand it about as well as I understand any other Maral, I guess, but, you know, it means something on a deeper level that I'm capable of understanding. But anyway, that's just as an aside. But there is this minhag to add in Don Olam at the end of davening. Maybe we should get rid of Adam Zmiros. We'll think about it. Okay, but yeah, you're into it. Me too. anyway, there's this idea of adding Adon Olam at the end of davening. The Prima Gadim points out the Beis Yosef says the minhag is not to eat or drink after Kriya Shema also. Now, aside from the minhag not to eat or drink. And there's Beis Yosef also quotes the minhag based on the Gemara to continuously just repeat psukim, that say these psukim over and over again until you fall asleep saying them. That again, what's that? What does that relate to? That relates to the idea that you're supposed to fall asleep with Torah on your lips. So you say these psukim of Shmira, and it covers both. It's the Shmira plus falling asleep with the Torah on your lips. So that's something that's a minhag that's quoted in the Ramah, and it's quoted by the Beis Yosef originally. Now, what about if you said Shema and you said Hamapil already, and then you realize, Oyvei, I didn't have a Mariv, or you need to go to the bathroom, and then you have a Chiv to say Asher Yatzar, you didn't count Svira, you didn't say Kiddush Levana, anything like that. So this is an interesting discussion. After Hamapil, are you allowed to talk or are you not allowed to talk? What is one permitted to do after Hamapil? So what it really boils down to is a fundamental discussion about what the Bracha of Hamapil is all about. The Gemara Maseches Brachos and Daf Samach and Beis says that when a person goes to sleep, there's a chiyuv to say the first paragraph of Shema followed by Hamapil. And Tosos at the beginning of that perek says that all of the brachos that are mentioned in that perek are supposed to be said b'shem Malchus. So Hamapil is no different. It's supposed to be said b'shem Malchus. It's a bracha quoted in Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to say the bracha of Hamapil. Tosos in Brachos and Daf Yiralf and Beis though deals with the following shaila. He says, why is it that when we go into the sukkah, we make a bracha of leisha v'sukkah before we eat in the sukkah, but we don't make a bracha of leisha v'sukkah before we sleep in the sukkah? This is Tosfos Kasha. So Tosfos says, well, very simple. When you're about to eat in the sukkah, it's completely within your control whether you're going to be able to eat or not eat. So you say a bracha, and then you'll be able to eat, and it's not going to be a bracha levatala. But when it comes to sleeping in the sukkah, you might make a bracha, and then you're not going to be able to fall asleep. So since you're not going to be able to, Tosa happens to have two terutim, this is one of his terutim. That since you might not be able to fall asleep, it's not in your control, so how could you make a bracha? Then you might not be able to do what the bracha was just on. That's what Tosa says. What does it have to do with Hamapil? It says Maritzchius, and others also, Gra and others, it says Maritzchius, wait a second. You don't make a bracha of leisha v'sukkah before sleeping in the sukkah because we're afraid you might not be able to fall asleep, and then the bracha is going to be a bracha of atala. What about the bracha of Hamapil? Every single night, the Gemara says you're supposed to make a bracha of Hamapil. Shouldn't you have the same concern? You might not be able to fall asleep, then the bracha will become a bracha of atala. It's a strong kasha. So Maritzchia says what you see is that Hamapil must be a fundamentally different kind of bracha than the bracha of Leishiv Pasukah. Leishiv Pasukah is a birchas ha-mitzvah. A birchas ha-mitzvah needs to be done, it needs to be said over Las Yasin. You need to say the bracha right before you do the mitzvah. That's the bracha of Leishiv Pasukah. The bracha of Hamapil is a birchas shevach v'hoda'ah. As a birchas shevach v'hoda'ah, really, theoretically, it could be said at any time, and it's not really a bracha levatal. Because you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always deserves praise. What are you praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu about? That he created this amazing thing called sleep. That's always worthy of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu about that. Now, when's the most appropriate time to really praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu about that? Is right when you're about to go to sleep. But if you don't fall asleep, it's not a bracha levatala, because it was just shevach la'oda. It wasn't a birchas mitzvah. So Maariv Chaya says that the bracha, you have to understand, that's the nature of the bracha of a mapil. It's a bracha as shevach la'oda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the gift of sleep, and therefore, even if you don't fall asleep, the bracha is not considered wasted bracha, it's fulfilled its purpose. Mishra Brura, however, in the Bir Halacha, in the Siman Reish Lamates, disagrees with this claim of the Maariv Chaya. He quotes from the Elia Rabbah as well. And he says, no, the text of the bracha suggests that it's very personal, and it's about you going to sleep. Hamapil chevle shena, what is it? Hamapil chevle shena al einai, on my eyes. Not al einenu, as in, you know, einai Yisrael, or einai ha'olam. Al einai. It's about me going to sleep right now. It's not about pokeach ivrim. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens the eyes of the blind. That has nothing to do with me. That's about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to humanity. Al Einai is very personal, says the Mishnah Berura. So don't tell me it has nothing to do with whether you fall asleep. What do you do with the Taina? Why is it any different than Leishei Basukah? There's a much more fundamental reason why it's different than Leishei Basukah. And then what's the more fundamental reason? You're going to say Leishei Basukah before you fall asleep. Tosa says you're concerned you're not going to be able to fall asleep. You know why you're not going to be able to fall asleep? When you go to sleep at night, normally, I don't know about you, but I'm not so concerned. When I put my head down on the pillow at night, and I'm looking forward to whatever few hours I'm going to get, I'm not so concerned I'm not going to be able to fall asleep. I happen to be the kind of person, bli ayin hara, it takes me about 3 seconds, right? I'm out cold. If I'm up for 3 minutes, I'm like, I can't sleep. You know, but I'm not so concerned. When I'm out in the sukkah, there are many times I'm out in the sukkah that I'm unable to fall asleep. Why? Very pashut. It's not my bed. I'm on an air mattress out in the sukkah. It's freezing cold. It's totally different. It's a totally different experience. So of course you're not going to be able to fall asleep in the sukkah. So the Tosfos says you don't make a bracha of leishei basukah before you go to sleep because you might not be able to fall asleep. But when it comes to hamapil, you do make a bracha. Why? Because you don't have to be so worried you're not going to be able to fall asleep. So if that's so, now this is fundamental. Now what are you and are you not allowed to do after hamapil? So if it's a bracha on sleep, and as soon as you talk or as soon as you do anything else, it turns it into a bracha levatala. So bracha levatala is a very serious aveira. That should trump asher yatzar. Right? You shouldn't say asher yatzar if it's going to turn your bracha of a mapil into a bracha levatala. But if you hold it, it's a bircha shevach v'oda. No matter what you do now, it's not going to change that. It's not going to change the shevach v'oda. So then you should say asher yatzar. So it happens to be, according to the Mishnah Berurah, probably you should not say Asher Yatzar, you should not do Kiddush Levana, all these things, after you've already said a Mapil. But a large group of Achronim disagree with the Mishnah Berurah, based on the Maariv Chaya, based on that Elia Rabbah, that a Mapil is a Birchas Shevach Hoda, and therefore they suggest that you should say all these things after the Bracha of a Mapil. Now, there is a Shita, according to Beis Yosef, of Rav Amram Gon, that says you should make a Birchas HaMitzvah on Kriya Shema Lamita. That before you go to sleep, you say, Hashem Kishon, it's also Vitzvan al Kriyashma, or Likra Shema. Even though we don't make a Birchas HaMitzvah on Kriyashma Shashachus, Kriyashma Shalavis, Rav Amram Gon says, you make a Birchas Kriyashma, Kriyashma Alamita. Tosos Mesachas Chulin says, no bracha on Kriyashma Alamita. You know why? Same reason there's no bracha on Mayim Achronim. What's Mayim Achronim for? Because it's dangerous not to wash Mayim Achronim. You can have the Melech Sodomus on your hands, and it's going to be dangerous for you. You can rub it into your eyes. It can be very dangerous for a person. You don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that's only there to counter a danger. So Kriya Shema Lamita also, if we understand the yisod of Kriya Shema Lamita is for shmira, that there are dangers lurking at night and we're trying to counter that danger, you're not going to make a bracha on such a mitzvah. But there's a more fundamental reason, I think, not to make a bracha on Kriya Shema Lamita. And that is the following. Kriya Shema Lamita doesn't come alone. It comes together with the bracha of Hamapil. Now, before we do the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon, before we do the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon, do we make a bracha, Asher Kishon Mitzvot Yisrael L'Varech HaMazon? No such bracha. Why not? It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Because you don't make a bracha on a bracha, the Abu Dharam writes. You never make a bracha on a bracha. Not only do you not make a bracha on a bracha, you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that's done within the context of brachas. So you don't make a bracha before Kriyas HaTorah, Asher Kishon Mitzvot Yisrael Al Kriyas HaTorah, because you have the Birchas HaTorah surrounding the Kriyas HaTorah. You don't make a bracha on Shema because you have the Kriya Shema surrounding the Shema. Perhaps by Kriya Shema Lamita as well. Since it comes together along with the bracha, therefore you're not going to make a Birkas HaMitzvah on it because it's Mekuyim through the context of another bracha. And you never make a bracha on a bracha. Okay, that's pretty much the long and the short of Kriya Shema Lamita. There are more topics, but I guess we'll leave that for a different time.